Well, hello, and thank you for joining in today, brothers and sisters. This is our second study in the letter P in the ABCs of Christian Growth, the second study, which is propitiation. We began that with one lesson, which was more or less an introduction that we talked about on our last one, and we found out some good things having to do with salvation and the ingredients that are part of salvation that many, many, many Christians have no idea what took place when they got saved and believed on Christ. And of course, none of us know all the details about salvation. How can we? God's the one that put this matter together, and it's perfect. And man could not have put a salvation plan together like the Lord did. He done it perfectly and done it right and proper to where all the avenues of salvation, legalities, grace, mercy, forgiveness, all the things having to do with salvation and somebody being born again have been taking place and have been taken care of through salvation. Now, propitiation, as we said before, by the way, I hope you've been having a wonderful day and welcome and God bless you for studying the Word of God. Thank you for coming and desiring and honoring the Lord and honoring His Word. There's a lot of people that don't honor God's Word because they don't believe it. They don't believe it, but you do, and you're here, and God bless you for that. And the Lord will bless you and honor you for honoring His Word. You watch. He will. This is study number 16A, propitiation. We begin our introduction. Let's just get right back and do a little recap here. Propitiation, what is it? Well, it is, in actuality, it is God accepting or being made propitious against His enemies against beings that were once His enemies because of sin. See, one thing that we can't forget that we have to keep right at the front of this matter is that God is holy. There is no unrighteousness in Him at all. Nothing. He's completely and utterly pure and holy. And He remains that way, and His integrity and His dignity. And as you read the Scriptures, you're going to find out that God loves being who He is because He's perfect. Man makes all these movies and makes all this imaginary stuff about a being that is perfect in every way. And all they're doing is just trying to figure out what the Lord is, trying to figure out what God already is. God is perfect. And God could not forgive sins unless it was done properly. God's desire was to forgive sins. God wants to forgive sinners. He wants people to come and be with Him. He wants to redeem mankind. And He has done everything possible to make that possible. He's done everything that God Himself could do. Think about that. Think about the formula of this thing. Who's behind it? Not scientists, not philosophers. Not anybody, any smart people and college graduate. There's nobody behind this. God's behind this. God is behind salvation. Propitiation is where what Jesus Christ done, sacrificing Himself for all mankind to redeem mankind, and done it successfully and perfectly and suffered for all men and then died, was buried, and resurrected and ascended back to the Father and took that redemption price, His blood and His sacrifice, and offered it to the Father rather than the oxes and the bulls and the sheep and the turtle doves and the flour and the all the different things in the Old Testament that were once offered for sin. He took Himself and His sacrifice, and He took it to the Father and took the redemption that was going to redeem man and offered it to the Father, and the Father looked at it and accepted it, where propitiation comes in. He accepted it, and he was very pleased with it. It was perfect. And for God to say that a sacrifice is perfect enough to redeem all men and make God propitious and acceptable and favorable toward all human beings, that if they'll come through Jesus and that sacrifice, God says, I will be favorable to them, I will save their souls, I will adopt them and let them become my sons and let them have eternal life forever and ever and ever. Pretty simple, huh? Propitiation. God accepting the sacrifice that Jesus offered. And was very, very pleased with it. Remember the scriptures we started out with? Romans 3:25, where the Bible says, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And then in 1 John, we read a couple scriptures. There's only three places where propitiation is mentioned in your Bible. In 1 John 2:2, and it said, and He is the propitiation for our sins. Nothing else can do it. Christ is the propitiation, the satisfactory sacrifice that was well-pleasing to the Father and acceptable by Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So we talked about that and we introduced propitiation. And then I remember telling you that there were many parts and ingredients to salvation. And I promised you that we were going to go over them before we get in to the study of propitiation proper. But I want to go over and I want to show you the different ingredients that have taken place briefly in your salvation. If you are born again, these are the things and the things that took place in God's perfect plan of salvation. The first thing is redemption. Redemption took place and also is taken place. And we get into that in another study of in the ABCs of salvation. When you study that, you find out that there are different sorts of salvation, yet they are all, I mean, you are saved and you are on your way to heaven. But there are, when the Bible says saved and salvation, it's talking about one of three things, different kinds of salvation, not kinds of salvation, excuse me for that, but different, how do I want to put that? For instance, when you are born again, you are saved from the penalty of sin. God's no longer mad at you. That's one sort type of salvation. When the Bible's talking about salvation, it's talking about the penalty of sin in some places. In other places, it's talking about you being saved, you still being saved and being a child of God, but yet you're residing in that body, and sin still affects you and affects your life. So therefore, you have to be saved from the power of sin. That's another form of salvation that the Bible talks about when it mentions salvation. It's talking about being saved from the power of sin, our daily living and our daily walk. The third thing is being saved from the very presence of sin when Jesus comes to get us and gets us out of here. That's another form of salvation. So you see, salvation I don't know how I got on that, but that when the Bible's talking about salvation, it's talking about the same salvation, the same package, just yet different truths in salvation. But redemption, that's the first thing, redeemed. That's part of your salvation. What is redemption? Well, it is the actual payment that is made by to buy the sinner back from the wrath of God. Jesus offered the redemption. He offered redemption. Offered the redemption. It's the actual payment itself. Jesus handed the Father the redemption and redeemed us with the payment. What payment? His blood and His life and His sacrifice. Handed it to the Father. That is redemption. That is the payment made to buy the sinner back from the wrath of God. He is bought with a price. And that price is what is redemption. Is redemption. That's part of your salvation. Let me read you a scripture concerning that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. By the way, I forgot to give you the scriptures on that last one. I usually try to do that, and I sometimes forget, and I apologize for that. This time, before we quit, I'll give you all the scriptures. Of course, these things are on Barnhouse Ministries, where the ABCs are found online, if you can get on there on your phone or either on your desktop or whatever. But if you get online at barnhouseministries.com, you can see the ABCs there, and you can download them, and or you can look at them, or you can do whatever you want to do. And all the scriptures are there on paper, and you can download them, or either anything you want to do to get access to them, you can on that site. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, redemption. That's part of your salvation. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. That's redemption. That's part of your salvation, is redemption, or being redeemed. The actual payment. The actual payment that the Father was well pleased and accepted and became propitious. It made Him propitious, favorable toward everybody now, because the payment's perfect. The redemption is perfect. The payment is perfect. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Redemption. That was part of your salvation. And is part of your salvation, the actual payment. What else? Well, we talked about propitiation, and we're going to get into more of that after we finish this up. But propitiation is the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage His wrath and render Him propitious to sinners. You see, you can't just walk up to God like some of these nuts think in the world that reject Jesus Christ and blaspheme Him and blaspheme the Word of God. They think they're going to be able to offer God something favorable so He'll become favorable toward them. God's not going to be favorable to no sinner that doesn't come through Jesus Christ. He's going to damn them, and the wrath of God is going to be on them for eternity. You better not play around with God's wrath and play around with this thing. Your salvation is very important, and all the parts of your salvation are critical. Very important. Because God's behind them. He's the author of this matter. You see? And God does things perfectly. But propitiation is the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to... the payment is redemption. But this atonement... the reason for it is to assuage His wrath and render Him propitious to sinners. The difference between redemption, what we just talked about, and propitiation is that in redemption, the payment is made. In propitiation, the payment is accepted by God and appeases or placates His anger. He is completely satisfied with the payment He received through His Son, Jesus. We read that, remember? I'm well pleased in several different places. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, and I read that to you, Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 and 25, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And then we read 1 John 2:2 and 1 John 4:10. Remember that? And we'll get more into that when we get into propitiation proper. Propitiation is part of your salvation. Redemption is part of your salvation, an ingredient in your salvation. The study is not about salvation, but it's about propitiation. But these things are ingredients in salvation. In salvation. What's next? Expiation. Expiation. What is that? Well, it's the act of purging or burning out or cleansing of sin. The actual cleansing of your sin and purifying you. Sin is no longer just forgiven. It is taken away and nailed to the cross. The Bible says that. It uses these actual words. It's not only just forgiven, as in the Old Testament, they'd bring those sacrifices. Remember we talked about that. They'd bring the sacrifices. They would sacrifice. They would go through the scriptural way to the priest and sacrifice them and do what was necessary and what God demanded about that, and God would forgive that sin. But the sin couldn't be wiped off the slate. It was still in recorded. It was still recorded. It was still there. But when it comes to expiation, part of New Testament salvation, and something that an ingredient that took place in your salvation when you got saved, expiation took place, is the act of burning out or cleansing of sin. Sin is not only forgiven, but it's taken away, not merely forgiven, based on the actions of Christ on our behalf. Sin is taken away. As soon as you believe and call upon the name of the Lord and trust in Jesus, these things take place. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14, listen to this. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, listen to this, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now listen, remember there's forgiveness. Having forgiven you all trespasses, he said all, and all means all, folks. Having forgiven you all trespasses, now listen to the rest of this, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. It's not even written down anymore. Which was contrary to us, and listen what else, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. It don't even exist anymore. It's gone. Expiated. It's burnt out. It's cleansed. Taken away. It doesn't exist anymore because Christ's payment was perfect and it was able, and the Father's able to do what he wanted to do in the first place. Get sin completely, rid us of sin and the penalty of sin and save us completely and utterly. And completely take sin out of there. Now, you say, yeah, brother, but I still sin. That's a whole different story from an unsaved person to a saved person. And we get into that in other places talking about Christians sinning. The Lord made provision for that. 1 John 1:9 to begin with. If we confess our sins, that's not talking to a lost person. God doesn't hear a person say, I'm sorry for my sin, unless they're coming through Jesus. Somebody that just wants to tell God they're sorry, I'm sorry I got drunk last night, Lord, but he's not interested in his son and Jesus and salvation, God don't no more hear that than he does a man in the moon. He don't accept that. You come through Jesus. And then once you come through Jesus and you are saved and these things take place, then you are son of God and your sin is completely different. You sin as a son and not as a sinner. There's a whole bunch to that, and that's why we study, so we can find these things out. Whole different scenario, sinning as a Christian, as a son of God, and sinning as a lost, unsaved, damned, wrath of God abiding on you like it used to. Whole big difference. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. We're talking about expiation. The act of purging or burning out or cleansing of sin, sin is actually taken away, not just forgiven, not merely forgiven, based on the actions of Christ on our behalf. Hebrews chapter 10, listen to this, and verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. They did. God was able, because of that blood from that animal, and that animal, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It can't be forgiven. So something's got to die and shed blood. So in the Old Testament, that's what happened. Animals died, and the blood was shed. And through doing it the way God said to do it, he was able to forgive, but they couldn't be taken away. For it's not possible for blood of bulls and goats should take away sins, should take them away. But listen to this, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9 through 14, talking about expiation now. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, the blood, the bulls and the goats and all that sort of business. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified. You're all cleaned up. That's what sanctification means. Clean, being cleaned up. Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Expiation. That's part of your salvation. Your sin's not only forgiven, it is taken out of the way. Gone. Amen. 1 John, listen to this. 1 John 3:5. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Expiation. So what have we talked about? Redemption. Propitiation is part of your salvation, an ingredient, something that God has put together perfectly, all these different matters. When you go into a courtroom, you stand there before the judge, there are many, many, many things that are going on around that courtroom and that justice system having to do with your case. Somebody's sitting over there typing, getting the words down. Somebody's over here on the defense. Somebody's over here on the offense. Somebody's behind the bench fixing to judge this matter. And then all sorts of things that have to be taken care of. And God's courtroom is no exception. Propitiation. All right? Expiation. Now, what else? Well, spiritual circumcision has happened to you. It's taken place. At your salvation, you were spiritually circumcised. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's the act of the Holy Spirit, when he comes to abide in you, he actually comes into your body, and the act of the Holy Spirit that actually divides the new nature in the Christian from his body of sinful flesh. You still are abiding in your body, but your soul and your spirit has been cut loose from that dead body that you're carrying around. It's still in there. You're still in there, but you've been cut loose from it. It no longer can affect you unless you let it, the flesh. The act of the Holy Spirit that divides the new nature in the Christian from his body of sinful flesh. Now listen to this. So that no sin done in the flesh can affect the new spirit. You might sin, but like Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh,
dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So that which I would do, I would, that which I would not, I do, and that which I do, I would not. You see, and he gets into all that. That's a whole different study in itself, but nevertheless, this took place in you. God the Holy Ghost moved in and is indwelling you. He quickened your spirit and brought your spirit back to life. That's what quickening means, to make alive. And brought your spirit back to life, and you are able to converse with the Lord and know the things of God now. But he also cut your spirit apart and circumcised. Remember, this is spiritual circumcision. He spiritually circumcised your soul and your spirit away from your body, even though you're still in there. I know this is kind of new stuff maybe for some of you, but nevertheless, absolutely true and absolutely necessary. And the Lord made it perfect when he planned it that way, because you are separated from that flesh even though you're carrying it around. That flesh is going back to the dust unless the Lord Jesus comes. And when he comes, guess what? He's going to change that vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. And it's going to be perfect like his body. Not like it is now. But your soul and your spirit are saved. Your body is not. You getting this? Spiritual circumcision. Let me read you something. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 through 12. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Spiritual circumcision. That happened to you. That has taken place. That is one ingredient of salvation that has taken place when you were born again. When you were born again. Isn't that wonderful? God no longer, your flesh can no longer affect your spirit as far as the sin goes. No sin done in the flesh can affect your new spirit. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit. And Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. As we study, this is spiritual stuff, and it affects your spirit. It doesn't affect your flesh. You see that? All right, what else? Well, another thing that happened during your salvation and you being born again, well, is regeneration. That is an ingredient in your salvation. Not only is redemption and propitiation and expiation and spiritual circumcision, but also regeneration. That took place. Well, what is regeneration? It's the act of salvation in which the Holy Spirit enters the sinner and gives him new life by a new birth, a new spirit able to respond to the Holy Spirit is created within the sinner. His dead spirit is regenerated, brought back to life, born again. You see that thing? The Bible says in John 3:3-7, you probably know this verse by heart. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, regenerated, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is not visible with your eyes. The kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of God is not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It can't be observed with your eyes. It's spiritual. And Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't know anything about spiritual things or the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And you are regenerated and you go through spiritual circumcision and are brought back to life. Your spirit brought back to life. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? You see, he had no idea what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about the flesh, being born of his mama. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, there's being born of the flesh from your mama in the water, remember? Born of water, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, that's a capital S in your King James Bible, which is referring to God the Holy Ghost. When the Spirit is capitalized in the Scriptures, the majority of the time is talking about God the Holy Ghost. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Spiritual things, the spiritual kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is spirit, small s, which is your spirit, man's spirit. So let me read that again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You see, regeneration took place when you were saved. Did you know that? Yeah, it took place. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, let me read that to you. Talking about regeneration. And you hath he quickened. What's quickened mean? Brought back to life, made alive. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, your spirit's been dead since you've been born of your mother. Ever since you have existed before your new birth, you have been dead in trespasses and sins. Even though your body was alive, your spirit has been dead from birth. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, that's conversation, the way that we lived, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive, brought us back to life, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You were quickened. You were brought back to life. You were regenerated and still are. But the Lord took your dead spirit. God the Holy Ghost came in and regenerated you and brought that spirit back to life. And you know the things of God. You're a son of God. You've been spiritually circumcised. You have been forgiven. Your sins have been taken away. And they have not only been forgiven, but burnt out, cleansed, taken away. And God has accepted that sacrifice through propitiation and is favorable to you now, and you have been redeemed by the payment, the redemption payment, the payment itself. Regeneration. That's part of your salvation. So what have we been over so far? We've been over redemption. We've been over propitiation, talking about just what they are, and expiation. We talked about spiritual circumcision and regeneration. And here's another one. That's not all. Justification. Justification took place. Now, this is getting into the legalities and the court, God's courtroom things that were necessary during your new birth. You see, God could forgive you, but in order for you to be justified, there had to be some things put in place. God doesn't justify a sinner unless there is a perfect payment of redemption. If somebody tries to come to the Lord and be justified saying, well, I lived 70 years and 40 of them were nothing but good and I done good for you and 30 of them was only, you know, I mean, I didn't do so good. But the majority of it, nah, that ain't going to get it. You ain't going to be justified by that. What is justification? Well, it's the declaration that a man is righteous when he is not. He is declared judicially through the court to be just, although he is unjust. Only God could do that. Aren't you glad of that? Justification. It's the declaration that a man is righteous when he is not. You see, that's the problem with most people nowadays. They try to be justified before God without admitting that they're not righteous. And you can't be justified that way. You have to take God's righteousness through Jesus Christ. You can't be justified on your own righteousness because man's righteousness is as filthy rags. There's no good thing in man. And this new generation and this new world system and all this stuff, they're trying to teach everybody that man can be good on his own. Man, there's some good in man. That ain't what the Bible teaches. You have to be justified. And what is justification? Well, it's the declaration in God's courtroom. When you were born again, you were declared a man of righteousness. Even though you're not righteous. You are declared judicially, legally in God's legal judicial courtroom, in his justice system. You are declared through the Lord Jesus Christ to be just. Although you are unjust. Isn't that wonderful? Justification. That took place when you got saved. When you got saved. Romans chapter 3. Listen to what it says. Romans chapter 3. Let me find it here. Where is it? Romans chapter 3 verse 24 says, being justified freely. You didn't have to do anything for it. You couldn't have done anything for it. It's a gift, remember? Being justified freely. In other words, God calls you just when you're not just. You are declared in God's courtroom judicially just. You are righteous through Jesus Christ. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, the payment that is in Christ Jesus. You see that thing? Justification took place in your salvation. When you were born again, you were judicially in God's courtroom, able to walk out of there just and righteous. Even though you know you're not, and God knows you're not, but God, through Jesus Christ, makes it happen. Romans chapter 4, verse 6 says, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. In other words, you didn't work for it. God gave it to you because you done what he said and you come to him the way that he said to come to him through Jesus Christ. his Son, who redeemed you through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't it beautiful how all this just blends right together? And it does. That's what I was telling you to begin with. Salvation is so beautiful and so perfect because God took all these different avenues and ingredients that were necessary and needed to be taken care of so that you could completely be saved with no niches in it at all. Only God could do that, and He did it. And if you're born again, these things took place in you and for you. Justification. That's not all. There's another one. Adoption. Guess what? You're in the family of God. You have been adopted. God adopted you. You are not your own. You belong to the Lord. You are in God's family. What is adoption? Well, it's the act whereby God takes a sinner and puts him into the family of God upon salvation. He is adopted into God's family as one of his sons. You say, where does it say that? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 11. Listen to what it says. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Remember what it said? For whom the Lord loveth. The Lord does not love sinners. Christ rejecting sinners. You better get that in your head and don't let anybody fool you, friend. Because God does not love sinners. God showed His love toward man and toward the sin problem through His Son Jesus Christ one time at Calvary. And if you don't come that way, don't you get it in your mind that God loves you. Because God's going to burn you, and He's going to put you in hell forever, and then cast you into the lake of fire, and His wrath's going to be on you for eternity if you're not born again. Don't get that twisted. Don't get it wrong. For whom the Lord loveth, talking about adoption, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, listen to this, but if ye be without chastisement, God correcting you in places, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards. You don't have a father, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God give you a whooping. God don't whip ungodly people. He don't take no interest in them family-wise. God does not father unsaved people and people that hate Christ and Christ's rejecters and that will not accept that sacrifice. God is not propitious toward them. He's not favorable toward them. He's going to kill them. And He's going to burn them. Just like He was me and you before you come to Christ. Aren't you glad you're saved? You should be. Very serious thing. I mean, the more we get into these ingredients and the more you're seeing here, you see how this thing is? You see all these different avenues that God took time and adjusted and molded and made and put this salvation together for you? And then you think you're going to stand there and stick your snoot up at God and say, I don't care about Jesus Christ. Like John Lennon said, he was a Jewish little punk. except he called him some other little nasty names, talking about Jesus was a nasty little Jewish punk, or something like that. Hey, John, how's it feel in hell, buddy? How you doing, John? Still think Jesus is a punk? Do you? You see, this thing's very important and critical when it comes to salvation. And all these mockers and scoffers and everybody else that talks about God's Word and talks about Jesus Christ, His Son, and mocks and scoffs, it said the wide path leads to destruction, folks. And it does. All because an unsaved person has absolutely none of what we've been discussing here. None of it. They are not redeemed. There has not been a payment for them because they have not appropriated it. The payment has been made for mankind. But unless you appropriate it, the redemption, the payment doesn't apply to you. Propitiation. God has accepted Christ's payment in lieu of the people that come to Him. The people that come to Him, He is favorable toward them. But people that won't come through Christ, forget that. Don't you even think of it. Expiation, your sin's still valid, my friend. You don't have anybody to pay your sin debt. You got no payment on your account. Your sin is not taken away. Your sin is still on the books. And if you read in Revelation at the white throne judgment, the Bible says, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And they were judged out of the books according to their works. All the things through their life that were written and recorded in those books. All their little fornication and their blaspheming God and their lies and their cheating and their stealing and all the things that violated and trespassed God's law. And they're opened. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, that book was cast into the lake of fire. And it's going to happen. It is going to happen. But not to you. If you're saved, these things took place for you. Expiation, spiritual circumcision, regeneration, justification. Justification and adoption. Adoption. Let me read you one more verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 through 16. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's a capital S, that's talking about God the Holy Ghost, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the Spirit, lowercase, man's spirit, of bondage again to fear. But ye have received the Spirit, uppercase, God the Holy Ghost, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is a word that is used like a family word. Like you would say, instead of father, you would say daddy. It's an affectionate term. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Daddy. You call God daddy now. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Did you know that? Isn't that tremendous? That's tremendous. Well, we got just some more, and I'm not going to rush through these because we got just as many more I want you to know about. So we're going to stop right there, okay? And let me just recap with you. So what has taken place at your salvation? Now, this study proper is propitiation. But you see how this is necessary for me to go through this, and you need to know these things and know about this thing of salvation, because propitiation is an ingredient in your salvation, but not the only one. And that's why we're going over this, so when we do study some more and go through the rest of this study, propitiation will be more understandable for you because you'll know what part and where it fits in. Okay? So what have we talked about? We've talked about redemption, or being redeemed, the payment. We've talked about propitiation, God's anger being placated, appeased, and he's completely satisfied with the payment. Propitiation, expiation, that your sins weren't just forgiven, they were burned out. The act of purging, cleansing of sin. Sin is taken away, and that's actually spoken in those scriptures that we talked about. Taken away. Spiritual circumcision. You are separated and circumcised from that sinful body. The Holy Spirit divided your new nature in you from your body of sinful flesh, so that no sin done in the flesh can affect the new spirit. Regeneration. He brought your spirit back to life. Your spirit was dead, but now it's alive unto God. Isn't that neat? You can understand the things of the Spirit and the kingdom of God. You can understand them now. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, because they're foolishness unto him. Why? Because he's dead. His spirit is dead. He can't understand spiritual things. But when you're regenerated, the Holy Ghost brings your spirit back to life with a new spirit, and now you can understand. Just like you understand these things, and it makes sense to you. Regeneration. Justification. You're declared righteous in God's courtroom. Judicially. The paperwork. All the things that have to do with God's commandments and violating, trespassing God's law and all these things. All that has been judicially taken care of, and you have been declared just, even though you are unjust. Isn't that neat? And adoption. Adoption. God just didn't leave you hanging out there to walk around in this wicked world. He adopted you. And he's got plans for you. You are a son. You're in his family. You are heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. You're an heir of God. A son. He took you and put you in the family of God when you got saved. And he adopted you legally. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And I think that was the last one we talked about, wasn't it? Well, we've got several more to go through, and we're going to stop right there. We'll stop with Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 through 16 was the last scripture that we read. I'll tell you what, if you got a pencil and paper and you want to write these down, I'm going to give them to you now. But if you want all of these, the exact things that I'm reading off of right now, these studies that I'm reading off of, you can get them on our site, barnhouseministries.com. You just go there and you click on ABCs of Christian Growth and go to this study of propitiation, and it'll have the study right there, exactly what I'm going through right now. And you can also go to the scripture. You can click on the scriptures for the studies, and you can go to propitiation, and you can have every one of these scriptures, and you can put these papers, print them, or put them on your computer, and you can go right down, just everything runs right with each other all the way down through this study. And maybe even if you feel like it, you could be listening to this while you're looking at them and see. I mean, it's all made for you. It's there if you want it that way. But if you'd rather write them down, I'm going to give them to you anyway. So here are the scriptures for today and yesterday, not yesterday, our last study, okay? All right, beginning at the beginning, Romans chapter 3, verse 25, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 through 11. Now, that was the ones that were for our last recording, our last study, our last class that we were in. That's the scriptures that we used during that period. Today, here are the scriptures that we started with today and went through and read in God's Word today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 through 14. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 11. And the last one for today's study, up to where we are right now, is Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16. And that's where we're going to stop today. And we're going to stop having the last thing we've been learned about as far as an ingredient in our salvation is adoption. When we begin on our next class, we will start and go over some more of these things that happen to you and discuss them so that you can get the big picture of what has taken place in your salvation before we get into propitiation proper. Okay? And reconciliation is the next one. That's the next one. Okay? So wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We have a wonderful God and a perfect God that has done these things for us, and they have taken place. They're not going to take place. They are already taken place, and you are locked in as God's son, and you're saved, and you can't never lose it, and God's not ever going to kick you out of his family, no matter what you do. He might tear your hind end up, and I wouldn't advise you doing anything to make your heavenly father, Abba, Daddy, angry at you. We are to do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And we want to, don't we? That's why we're here, to study God's Word and to honor him and to honor his Word and to learn and to get the joy of the scriptures and the truth of things. And there's so much deceit and nastiness and filthiness in this world to try to bring you down. We need each other and we need God's Word, don't we? And we need the joy and we need encouragement. And we need God the Holy Ghost teaching us and guiding us and comforting us and all these things that the Bible teaches us and that are true. God bless you for studying God's Word. And the Lord bless you and pay your bills and keep your health and take care of your family and just bless you, bless you, bless you. I pray for you and I love you with Christ's love and thank you for honoring the Lord and studying. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? We're going to go back and get back into these ingredients having to do with your salvation. And finish them up and just have us a wonderful time around God's Word. I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? Bye-bye.